All right, welcome everyone to another deep dive. Today we're looking at something I think is super important, and it's really at the heart of how we make things, especially medicines. We're going to be talking about environmental impact and worker safety, and how those two considerations, you know, aren't just like nice to haves. They really fundamentally change how we design and run manufacturing.
Yeah, absolutely. And for everyone listening who wants to really get a solid handle on this stuff, but without getting, you know, lost in the weeds, that's what we're going for today. So we're going to be pulling out those key insights, showing you how these considerations are baked right into how we create pharmaceuticals and really manufactured goods in general.
Yeah, so the mission for today is to really show that these aren't afterthoughts. These aren't things that are just like tacked on at the end to meet regulations. They really drive decisions from the very beginning, like research and development. And we're going to be using real world examples to show this, you know, a lot of them drawn from the scientific literature that kind of focuses on, you know, process optimization and how to actually make these things in the real world. All right, so let's jump right in. When we talk about the environment and manufacturing, like, where do we even begin to see these considerations in action?
Well, I think a good place to start is this foundational concept of green chemistry. So think of it as a way of designing chemical processes and the products themselves from the ground up. The goal is to minimize or completely eliminate using and creating hazardous substances. It's about being sustainable by design at the molecular level.
Green chemistry. Okay, that sounds great in theory.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, how does that actually play out when you're trying to make things at scale, you know, in a real world manufacturing setting?
Well, one major area is waste management. I mean, obviously, the less waste produced, the better, not just for the environment, but even economically, it makes sense. And then there's this critical aspect of handling any waste that is generated safely and responsibly, especially when you're talking about hazardous materials, which we know can be a part of pharmaceutical manufacturing.
Yeah, you know, it makes me think about, I was reading that solvents are a big contributor to the waste stream in manufacturing.
Oh, they absolutely are. A traditional drug manufacturing, you know, it often uses a lot of organic solvents, which we know have some pretty negative environmental impacts. What's interesting is research has even shown that these solvents can affect how our bodies even process medications. So right away, you're starting to ask, can we find more environmentally friendly alternatives?
Right. It's like the industry is constantly going, okay, can we swap out this potentially problematic ingredient with something better,
yeah,
something safer? Do our sources give us any examples of where they've actually done that, like these greener substitutions?
Yeah, they do. For example, there are certain steps where a protective group needs to be removed from a molecule. It's called a deprotection step. The literature really pushes using aluminum chloride instead of something called boron tribromide. It's BBR3. So BBR3, it has some pretty significant handling hazards. So switching to aluminum chloride is a much safer approach,
right,
for workers. Another example, looking at solvent selection for reactions, toluene has really been embraced as a more, I guess, process-friendly option compared to benzene, which we know has toxicity concerns. What's cool is that these seemingly small changes at the chemical level, they have a ripple effect on both the safety and environmental impact.
Yeah, those are really clear examples, I think, for people to kind of wrap their heads around it. Now, I've also heard this term flow chemistry, and I'm wondering, how does that fit into this bigger picture of making manufacturing greener and safer?
Well, flow chemistry is pretty interesting. It's basically a technique where reactions happen in a continuous stream. You know, imagine like a tube or a series of small reactors, rather than those big batch reactors we've traditionally used. Now, if we connect this to our focus today, flow chemistry offers some pretty compelling advantages. Because you can control those reaction conditions really precisely, you know, things like temperature, how long those reactants are in contact, you can improve safety, less waste is generated, and you often get a higher yield of the product you want.
Interesting.
Now, that being said, scaling up flow chemistry, especially for those, you know, high volume drugs, can be tricky. There are some unique engineering challenges there, but, you know, researchers are working on them. So it's not like a magic bullet, but it is a really powerful tool in the right circumstances.
So it's almost like you're making things in a very controlled, continuous way, rather than these kind of like big, unpredictable batches. Can you give me an example of flow chemistry being used in a way that, you know, actually improves safety or reduces waste, maybe something from our literature?
Yeah. So one example from the organic process research and development literature, which is really the go-to source for how to optimize and scale up these chemical processes in the pharmaceutical world, it describes a reaction called the lithiation of dichlorobenzene. And they do this in a flow reactor.
Okay.
Now, this specific reaction, it usually needs really low temperatures. It can be pretty risky to do it in a large batch. But by using a flow reactor, they could get those low temperatures, but with really short reaction times. So that dramatically improves the safety because you're minimizing the amount of hazardous intermediate that's present at any one time. It can also cut down on unwanted byproducts.
Makes sense. It's like the process itself becomes more like a carefully managed experiment than just this like huge industrial operation.
Yeah.
Okay, so beyond just waste and solvents, what are some other aspects of environmental impact that we need to be thinking about in manufacturing?
Well, energy efficiency and conserving resources are huge. Optimizing the manufacturing processes to use less energy, fewer raw materials, it's better for the environment overall, but it can also save manufacturers a lot of money. You know, this can involve improving those reaction yields so you don't need to repeat them as often, reducing how much water you use for cooling or cleaning equipment.
Okay, so we've touched on some of the major environmental considerations, but let's shift gears a little bit and talk about worker safety. I mean, in any manufacturing environment, but especially when you're dealing with chemicals, having strong safety protocols is so important.
It's absolutely paramount. You know, protecting the people who work in these environments, it's not just ethical, it's also a fundamental part of running a responsible and sustainable operation. And that means having those well-defined safety protocols, providing really thorough training, and creating this workplace culture where safety is the top priority at every level.
And then when you're dealing with pharmaceuticals, there's that added layer of complexity because you're often handling materials that could be hazardous. So how does the design of the manufacturing process itself actually minimize the risks to workers?
Yeah, that design plays a crucial role. So you might use closed systems to limit that direct contact with the substances. Automating those particularly risky steps, making sure that work environments have proper ventilation and containment measures in place.
Right.
And our sources, they highlight instances where having a really deep understanding of the safety data is just crucial before you even think about scaling up a chemical reaction. You know, for example, in early drug development, the literature stresses the need for thorough safety info before you scale up something called an azidation step, which can carry certain risks. Similarly, using certain reagents like MCPBA, which is great for a specific chemical transformation, might be totally avoided in a large plant because of handling hazards.
So it's like this balancing act, right? Between finding the most efficient way to make a molecule, but also making sure you can actually do it safely at scale in a real manufacturing plant.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And that's where these engineering controls and personal protective equipment, or PPE, become really important.
Right.
So engineering controls are all about modifying the process or the equipment itself to reduce or eliminate those hazards right at the source. That might involve installing fume hoods, using containment systems for reactors, having interlocks on machinery to prevent accidental operation. You know, and when those engineering controls alone aren't enough, PPE like specialized gloves, respirators, protective clothing, they provide that extra critical layer of protection for the workers.
Now, I know that the pharmaceutical industry is heavily regulated. Are there specific regulations that address worker safety in manufacturing these drugs?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's something called the Quality System Regulation, or QSR. Think of it like the FDA's rulebook for ensuring quality and safety in manufacturing. It has extensive requirements for the methods, facilities, and controls you use to make these products. And the FDA, they actually conduct inspections of manufacturing facilities to ensure they're meeting those QSR requirements. On top of that, there's ISO 13485. It's a globally recognized quality standard for medical devices. Regulatory bodies often use this as well, and it includes a lot related to worker safety. So it's not just about the final product. Regulators care about the safety of the people making it.
So it's not just the science that needs to be perfect. Mm. The procedures, the facilities, they all have to meet those standards.
Exactly. You know, and manufacturing processes, they need to account for the possibility of unexpected stuff happening, you know, deviations from the plan. Even when we're talking about dietary supplements, regulations like those found in CFR Title 21, Part 111, they emphasize having procedures for handling and adjusting when things don't go perfectly. That means having protocols for dealing with spills, equipment malfunctions, or any situation that could pose a risk to the workers. It's really fascinating how these regulations foster a culture of preparedness and continuous improvement in safety practices.
Now, you mentioned earlier that we could look at some specific examples from the OPR&D, the Organic Process Research and Development literature. I'm curious, can we dig into some of those to see how these environmental and safety considerations are being tackled in the real world?
Oh, for sure. The OPR&D literature is a goldmine for that. A recurring theme you'll see is optimizing reaction conditions to improve the yield, but also to reduce how many steps are involved in the synthesis. Mm-hmm. By needing fewer steps, you inherently generate less waste, and you're also minimizing the chances of safety hazards because you're not handling as many intermediates.
Right. So fewer steps, fewer opportunities for something to go wrong.
Exactly.
For both the environment and the workers.
Exactly.
Now, are there any specific instances where they actually chose a safer chemical over a maybe more efficient but more hazardous one?
Yeah, we talked about aluminum chloride over BBR3 to euine over benzene. These are actually explicitly discussed in OPR&D articles. They talk about how those choices are driven by safety and environmental concerns.
Mm.
And you'll see examples where researchers were specifically looking for ways to avoid using really toxic or unstable compounds. Like in the early stages of drug development, you might see in the literature that they avoided using MCPBA in larger scale reactions because of the risks. It's not just about finding a reaction that works. It has to work safely and cleanly on a large scale.
It's not just about does it work, but does it work when you're making tons of it?
Yeah, precisely.
What about improvements to the manufacturing process itself that might indirectly lead to better environmental and safety outcomes?
Oh, there are plenty of examples of that. A lot of times, improvements that aim for higher yields of the drug and fewer byproducts, they end up reducing waste as well. If you're getting more of what you want and less of what you don't, you have less to dispose of.
Makes sense.
The OPR&D literature is full of examples of how they tweak things like catalysts, solvents, reaction temperatures to get better outcomes. And then there's something called telescope synthesis, where they run multiple reaction steps in sequence without isolating the intermediate products. So that can drastically cut down on reaction time and potentially minimize the formation of byproducts, like we see in some examples of synthesizing efavirenz. They're really trying to make that whole process more efficient and self-contained.
So it's like they're streamlining the whole thing, minimizing how much they have to handle these intermediate chemicals. Now, what role do analytical techniques play in all of this?
Oh, they're essential. They allow you to really monitor the reactions closely and identify impurities early on. Methods like NMR spectroscopy can give you super detailed information about the molecules in the reaction mixture.
Wow.
So chemists can make real-time adjustments, preventing hazardous byproducts from forming, and that ultimately ensures the quality and safety of the final drug. It's like having a quality control system at the molecular level.
So you're not just running the reaction and hoping for the best. You're actually analyzing what's going on at a molecular level to ensure safety and quality.
Mm.
Now, what about the final form of the drug, the crystals? Does that have any implications for safety or environmental impact?
It definitely does. Crystallization, it's often the final step in getting the drug in its pure, solid form, and it's super critical. The properties of that crystal, like how easily it dissolves or how stable it is, they can directly impact the quality and safety of the medicine. So those well-defined crystallization processes, they ensure consistent product quality, and they can actually minimize waste by optimizing the recovery of the active ingredient.
So you're getting the most out of what you've made.
Exactly. It's really fascinating how even small changes in those crystallization conditions can have a big impact on the final product's characteristics and its purity.
It's like every little detail matters. These real-world examples from the literature, I think, really bring these concepts to life. It's not just abstract ideas anymore. It's about actual decisions and innovations that are happening in the pharmaceutical industry to address these concerns. Now, let's bring this back to the listener for a minute. Why should someone who's taking medication, why should they care about all these details about environmental impact and worker safety in manufacturing?
Well, it's all about the quality and safety of the medications that you rely on. If the manufacturing process prioritizes environmental responsibility and worker safety, you're more likely to get high-quality drugs, fewer impurities, and consistent effectiveness. It builds trust in that whole supply chain.
So it's not just about being green or socially responsible as like separate ideas.
No.
They're actually deeply intertwined with the quality and reliability of the medicines we depend on.
Exactly. It's not just checking boxes for regulations. It's about sustainable and ethical manufacturing. It's about a commitment to quality, to the safety of the people making these essential products, and to the well-being of the planet.
This has been a really insightful deep dive. Just to recap, we've seen that environmental impact and worker safety, they're not separate issues. They're really woven into how we design and carry out manufacturing processes. Principles like green chemistry, responsible waste management, robust safety protocols, they're driving innovation in the industry. And the scientific literature shows that there's this ongoing effort to optimize those processes with these things in mind.
And here's something to think about as we wrap up. You know, manufacturing technology is constantly evolving. It's getting more and more sophisticated. So how can we use these advancements to minimize our environmental impact even further and make things even safer for workers? What role can innovation play in making manufacturing not just more efficient, but inherently safer and more sustainable for everyone?
That's a great question to leave everyone with. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.